Amen. Thank you, guys. Go ahead and have a seat. Welcome. Good afternoon. Good to see you guys and some new faces as well. My name is Nathan, and I am one of the leaders here. Pastor Doug and Tyler, they're away this week, and he asked me to share, continue on in our series that we've been talking about, loving God more. Loving God more and asking the question, how do we do that? Well, one of the ways that we do that is by developing spiritual disciplines, We've been talking a couple of weeks already about this. The first week, we talked about communion. And what does it mean to take communion? Why do we take communion? We do that here at SIF at the first Sunday of every month. Then the last 2 weeks, we spent some time talking about spending more time in the Word of God, in devotions. And so as I was thinking about spiritual disciplines this week, I started thinking about kind of really at the heart of it, what is it? And what is communion? What is spending time in God's word? You know, prayer, fasting, these type of things. Ultimately, and I mean, it fits in with the theme, loving God. It's about growing in our relationship with God, growing closer to Him. And these are things that we would do with anybody that we want to grow in a relationship with, whether it's our children, whether it's a friend or a family member, not pray to them. That's not what I mean. But I mean, what is prayer? Prayer is communicating, right? You're going to spend time talking with them. You're going to spend time listening, right? You're going to spend time investing in them. What is devotions? It's opening up God's word and saying, listen, you are important. What you have to say is important, and I can learn and grow from this. And that's what we do with relationships, right? That's what we strive to do in our relationships. And there's a lot of other things that we do in our relationships as well. For example, sometimes maybe there is a wedding, right? A wedding. What do? We go and we join together on that exciting day, right? We witness the vows being said, you know, we give congratulations. Some of us just go for the food. It's okay. I know it's true, right? And then sometimes, you know, maybe also when it's a family member or a friend, we get together every year to celebrate a birthday. These things draw us closer together with people that we know and that we love. When we celebrate with each other in different events and different holidays and, you know, milestones, it brings us together as well and brings us closer. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, another spiritual discipline, the discipline of celebration. And I have to be honest with you, at first when Pastor Doug was like, Nathan, you can talk about prayer and fasting, I was like, ooh, those are really important, but those aren't my strengths. I'm going to be preaching to myself also, and that's a little bit humbling. It's good to be humble, but I was like, he was like, oh, but there's also celebration. And I said, I like that idea. I want to dig a little bit deeper and let's talk about it. So that is what we're going to be looking at, the spiritual discipline of celebration. We celebrate, again, as I said, with friends, you know, for birthdays, weddings, you know, when a new baby is born, maybe good news or promotion. We love to celebrate. And one of the best places to celebrate is at a wedding, regardless of what culture you're from, what country you're from. I mean, weddings are a huge, huge deal. And we actually see that Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, also was not opposed to celebration. At the very beginning of his ministry, we see him. This is from John, I believe it's John chapter 2. We see him in John chapter 2 at a wedding. I'm going to be sharing some stories today. So I've got some scripture up on the board. Sorry, it's a little bit small. I've got some scripture up on the board there. It's just the highlights. I'll be paraphrasing some. But basically, there's a wedding, and Jesus' mother is there, and we see that Jesus is there with his disciples. He is celebrating together with these people. And if you know at any celebration, you want to make sure that the food and drink does not run out. If you've ever been to a Chinese banquet, you know that it's a culture of hospitality. They make sure the food keeps coming. You've been to a Chinese wedding, you know, and you sit down at that round table and they just keep piling dishes. And you're like, there's no way anybody's going to be able to eat all of this, right? They want to make sure that food keeps coming. And if it stops coming, that's huge, major loss of face. Well, Jesus is at this wedding, and guess what happens? They run out of wine. They run out of wine. And I'm sure they're probably anxious about it. Like, what are we going to do? We've run out of wine. This is disastrous. Is this cursing this wedding, you know, and this marriage? Jesus's mom says, hey, here's Jesus. Listen to what, just do what he says. And Jesus says, in verse 4, woman, talking to his mom, that's kind of direct, yeah? Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. He hasn't even done a miracle at this point yet. But she's like, yeah, just do what he says. So nearby, there's a couple of stone jars of water. And, he says, you know, make sure they're filled to the brim. And then he says, go and take out some of that water and take it to the master of ceremonies. Let him taste it and see what he says. And we see here that in verse 9, the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servant who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you say best till now? You see, what's incredible about the story is that Jesus was celebrating. He was at a celebration, and he was celebrating. He's not opposed to celebration. Not only that, but the celebration was about to come to an abrupt end. And Jesus was like, you know what? I want to continue blessing this celebration. And so he takes this water and turns it into wine and is able to keep the celebration going on. He doesn't only enjoy and take part in the celebration, but he's also blessing it and helping it continue on. Weddings are amazing like that. I mean, I remember going to weddings when I was a little kid, and I remember the food. And I remember some of my family members would always give me some money. That was good, too. You know, you go see your great uncle, and he's like, here's some money for you, kiddo. I thought, thank you. You know, I forgot a lot of it. But, you know, I remember at all of my family weddings growing up, my uncles or my aunts, or it was always my great grandfather that would give a speech to bless the newlyweds. And he was Sicilian. So Sicilians would probably generally say that they're not Italian, they're Sicilian. You know, I mean, they are passionate about being from their island. And he was an immigrant to the U.S. He didn't speak that much English. It was always broken with Italian. And whenever he gave his speech, it was always, you know, in Italian. And it was and his wife would translate for him. But she'd stop translating about halfway through because she didn't need to. Because stereotypically, Italians speak with their hands and their face and their expressions. And everybody knew what he was saying. You know, but we remember. I look back on that, and I mean, I don't remember who was getting married or anything, but I remember the joy and I remember the excitement, right? Celebrating is about that joy and about being together. It's about celebrating in that joy with each other. But celebration, the idea of celebration, the act of celebration has to come from somewhere. You know, a lot of times when we read Genesis, the creation story, we just think about the natural world, like the actual trees and the actual water and the actual Adam and the actual Eve. But sometimes we forget that there wasn't emotion before that point, right? I mean, there wasn't celebration. As God was creating those things, he also created love and peace and joy. I mean, they were already there with God because that's part of God's character, but he bestowed that onto us and gave us celebration. And he also gave us celebration. And so he is the originator of celebrating. And it tells us that also in Scripture. It shows us God and Jesus and the angels celebrating. A little bit later in Jesus's ministry, he's asked a question and he decides to answer with what he often answers with, a parable. Not just one, but three. And I think you guys know these parables. And all these parables are ultimately about something that was lost, and then it became found. Something that was lost, and then it became found. And then the response that it brought about the people who found it. So again, these are just highlights here. This is from Luke 15. The first one, I think you guys know it. Jesus told that parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? If he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And notice what he does when he gets home. He calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, celebrate. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you in the same way, right here, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You catch that? There is rejoicing and celebration in heaven. God and Jesus and the angels also celebrate. He goes on and he gives us another parable and he says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one of them. That's 10%. That's kind of a lot. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house searching for it until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls who? Her friends and her neighbors together. And what does she say? Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels, in the angels of God, over one sinner who repents. Celebration again. And then when finally we get to the story, this probably the best known story out of these three is the prodigal son. I think many of you know the story. There are two sons in this parable. The younger says to his father, hey, I want my inheritance. That's kind of breaking rank and he shouldn't do that, but his father honors him and gives him his portion, his inheritance, and he goes and he squanders it on women and food and on partying. And then there's a famine in this foreign land and he finds himself with nothing, And he finds himself eating out of this, you know, pig trough. He's kind of thinking to himself, man, even the servants in my father's household have it better than I do. Maybe if I go back, my father will accept me, even just as a worker. So we gains the courage and he starts to go back. And as he's walking on the road, his father sees him and runs to him. Now, in our modern culture, I think, you know, maybe we don't get the full, you know, context of this. But at that time, men didn't run unless there was something chasing them. You know, it was a major loss of face. But he sees his son and he puts aside his pride, you know, and his reputation. He runs and embraces his son. And in verse 22, this is what he says. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet and bring a fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Man, celebration, there's a lot of it when you start looking for it. Now, the other son, the older son, he's not so excited about this because he's like, hey, where's my celebration? I mean, I've been here the whole time. I've been good. You know, I didn't squander your money. I've been helping you out here, managing some stuff. Why can't I get a fattened calf? And Jesus in the parable says this. He says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to what? Celebrate. And be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. This shows us that God, Jesus, and the angels, they like celebrating too. They also celebrate. We see Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry doing what? In the flesh, celebrating at a wedding and making sure that wedding celebration keeps on going. And then later on, he's like, listen, let me tell you, we like to celebrate in heaven too. But it's not only in the New Testament. We see also in the Old Testament. We see actually even a command to celebrate. That like, this is like part of your laws. Like keep the Sabbath and also celebrate. Don't forget to celebrate, right? Don't murder people, also celebrate. You know, don't covet your neighbor's wife or, you know, envy or celebrate also. It's in there. And this was actually the chapter as I was, you know, preparing for this. And as, you know, Doug kind of said, hey, thanks for, you know, covering this. He said, look at Deuteronomy 16. We don't usually spend a lot of time in Deuteronomy because it's a lot of laws, you know, and it's thus thou do this. And on the seventh day, you can come back into the camp and, you know, you get lost really fast. But chapter 16 is really interesting. It's all interesting, but chapter 16 for what we're talking about today is particularly interesting. There are commands to celebrate three times. Three times. Again, I'm just going to show you some of the highlights here. This one, the Passover. Observe the month of Avian. Celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, because in the month of Avi, he brought you out of Egypt by night. celebrate. Don't forget and celebrate. A little bit farther down, and he starts talking about the festival of weeks, and he says this. It says this: count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a free will offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. And rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your town, and the foreigners, and the fatherless, and the widows living among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and follow carefully these decrees. Two times, you better celebrate, right? That is command in Deuteronomy for the Israelite nation. And then the final one, the Festival of Tabernacles, verse 13. Again, this is Deuteronomy 16. Verse 13 says, celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at the festival, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites and the foreigners and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns. Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. And then just in case you didn't get it, at the end of the chapter, he gives us a nice little summary, kind of a conclusion paragraph of the law. And it says this: 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord, your God, at the place he will choose, at the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. He's saying, listen, I am instituting 3 times a year parties. Celebrations where you guys need to be getting together to remember who you are, where you came from, what I've done for you, and to give thanks for the bounty and blessing that I've given you this year. We see Jesus celebrating in the flesh. We see the heavenly realm and hosts, God and Jesus celebrating. And we see even for the Israelites, a command to celebrate. The good news is that I think for spiritual gifts, celebrating comes a little bit easier to us maybe than fasting does for some of us, right? Or prayer, maybe, or scripture reading, right? We're always up for a good party, right? But we need to always make sure that it's framed right as well. Looking at kind of just what we looked at here, kind of a survey of celebration, I think there's a couple of things that we need to remember and note about celebration. Number one, celebration should be a habit. It should be a habit, not a one-off, but a habit. We see that again in the verse that we just saw. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord. Not just one time every, 7 years, but 3 times a year come together at these celebrations. Right? Number one, celebration should be a habit. Celebration, we see often, involves the table. We see time and time again that whenever there's celebration, there is food that's there. We like food, right? It's a good reason to get together, right? To enjoy, right? We see here in Luke 15, right after that prodigal son, he came back. The father said, whoa, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Food and celebration often go hand in hand. Number three, celebration is communal. Celebration is not always, right? I mean, we can celebrate what God has done, and by ourselves, but it's oftentimes communal. Builds community, it encourages, it strengthens, it helps us to develop gratitude. And we saw that time and time again in Luke 15, 6, and then this was the portion where they find the sheep or they find the coin. Then what do? They call their friends and neighbors together. It's communal. Come, rejoice with me. Celebrate with me what has happened. And then Deuteronomy 16, I mean, this is a pretty extensive list. There's not a lot of people that are excluded in these feasts that we see the Israelite nation being commanded to have 3 times a year. You, Okay, yeah, I'll be there. Your sons and daughters, yeah, that's good. You know, we're good family, can be together. Your male servant and female servants, okay, yeah, we can include them also, you know. The Levites, the foreigners, they're included too in this. You know, the fatherless, the widows. I mean, it is all-encompassing, these celebrations that the Israelites were having and were commanded to have. Our celebrations should be communal. Celebration is also about remembering. About remembering. We remember the past and we celebrate it, and that helps us to inform the future. That helps us to inform the future. As I was kind of doing some research and everything else and looking at these ideas, I found a quote from Dr. Seuss, the kids' book author. And he says, "Don't be sad it's over, be joyful that it happens. Don't be sad that it's over, but be joyful that it happened," right? And sometimes we are sad that it's over, but we got to remember, man, it happened, and that's why we're celebrating, right? And that's why we're celebrating. We see it here in Deuteronomy 16, kind of hinted to this, right? It says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees." That's a huge part of a celebration. We get together for Christmas time. What do? We remember. We get together for Easter. What do? We remember, right? And we get together for, you know, whatever, Thanksgiving. I know that's more of an American, North American thing, but I know that other places, they also kind of celebrate it themselves as well. And we'll have one here later this season as well, a Thanksgiving celebration. But we remember what God has done. When we have a birthday, we remember, man, I'm 1 year older. It's okay. It's going to be a good year, right? It's going to be a good year. But we remember, and we remember. And the last one is celebration leads to action. Celebration leads to action. Celebration leads to action. And we see this in Deuteronomy in particular, 16, that later on it said what? It said, "As you go to celebrate, also make sure that you're bringing along your sacrifice," right? To remember what God has done. Right here, "Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you." Because John Maxwell, he's a Christian leadership expert, and in his book, I believe it's called 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader, the quality of, or characteristic maybe, of gratitude and generosity. I'm sorry, generosity. He says this about it. He says, "It's hard for a person to be generous when he is not satisfied with what he has. Generosity rises out of contentment." You see, when we celebrate, it puts us in a place of being satisfied, of remembering the goodness that we've experienced, the goodness that others have experienced, to celebrate and to just, you know, just be filled with that joy. It will help us be moved to action. Practically, how do we celebrate? I think, you know, we don't have a problem with dinners or parties or Christmas time or Thanksgiving and Easter. We love them. But I think we always need to make sure that in our celebration, there's the component that we're bringing it back to God, that we're remembering what he has done, that we're giving thanks to him, saying thank you for this day. Thank you for these friends. Thank you for another year. You know, thank you for this new couple that's just married. Thank you for this new life. Because it puts us in a place of humility, you know, and gratitude. And from that, we can be better versions of ourselves, of who God wants us to be. We need to enjoy the Lord. Some of you know this. About a month ago, almost to the day, I was back in the U.S., first time in 4 years, I was out on a lake, and I was a little bit foolish. I'm 40 plus, I know it doesn't look it, but I am. And I was trying to convince myself that I wasn't, and I got on the back of a jet ski driven by one of my kids, bad idea, on an inner tube. This is something we do in the States. If you don't know, you can look it up, tubing. And you get pulled on the back of a boat while you're holding onto this inner tube for dear life. And I used to do it as a teenager. It was fun. I did it once as a 30-year-old, and I was like, I'm never going to do this again. It's only for teenagers. And then I forgot. I tried it again, and I got on the back, and you're supposed to lay down, but I was trying to be a cowboy, show off for my kids. I was up on my knees, you know. The center of gravity was higher. Anyways, it's, you know, I said, don't go faster than 20. She says, okay, Dad, you know, and you know, I'm like, ah! And she goes around a bend, and she doesn't know about centrifugal force, and she doesn't have the experience. But when you're being whipped around a corner, it's a lot faster than 20. I fly off. My wife was on a different one laughing at me. When you hit water, you're supposed to go in. But when I hit water, I was like a rock skipping. Three times on top of the water, you know? I mean, it was bad, but I hit my head first. Bam! And suffered a concussion. Pretty bad concussion, actually. Like 3 days before I was supposed to fly, I was worried, you know? I come back, I do, I'm not supposed to fly. The pressure in the airplane, I'm going to get an aneurysm and die, you know? Start freaking out. I'm a biology teacher, but I only know enough to be scared. You know, so I'm freaking out here, and I'm like, we go to the doctor. You can fly, but you know, you're going to be dizzy and lightheaded and no, not yourself for maybe a month. It's true. I'm still dizzy, even just right now a little bit. But, you know, one of the things is that I can feel that I'm not functioning at full capacity. I can feel that I'm only like 85%. But I'm at the point now where work's kind of like, hey, you know, we've given you some space, but it'd be good if you could be like 100%. You know, so I started pushing myself, and I start feeling frustrated recently, the last couple of weeks. I've been really frustrated, actually, getting frustrated at my kids, getting frustrated at, you know, my wife and people at work, more so than normal. I don't usually get frustrated, but, you know, it came to kind of a head last night. And my wife was like, you got to stop being frustrated. She's like, what's going on here? And I couldn't really figure out. Then I finally realized, I think it probably has something to do with me still not functioning 100%, but I feel like I need to be there. And I'm trying to be there. Not making excuses, you know, just trying to understand the situation. And you know, I started, but it was pretty emotional, you know, when you're frustrated with people and they don't feel accepted and loved and stuff. But what really helped me, And I wasn't like, it must have been the spirit moving at that moment. But what helped me was I started, instead of saying all the things I was frustrated about, the things that weren't frustrating to me. And the things that weren't frustrating to me, you know, coming from my kids, almost in a way of celebrating, right? The goodness that's around me. And to realize that that outweighs the frustration more than it's easy to get lost in frustration. It's easy to get lost in discouragement. It's easy to get lost in hard things. But if you stop and you remember the goodness that's around you and you celebrate it, it starts to shift your perspective. God knows that. That's why he commanded the Israelites, celebrate. That's why Jesus is like, hey, we got to keep the celebration moving. It's not going to stop here. You know, hey, don't forget that we also celebrate in heaven too, right? It helps us realign. And today, I've had some frustrating moments. My printer was out of ink, and then I sent it to the print shop. They never got it, so I'm on my computer. But I'm here, and I'm working on shifting, right? Because of looking at that and celebrating the goodness that's around us. And so enjoy the Lord. That's a practical way that we can celebrate. A beautiful thing my wife started doing around the dinner table about a year plus ago was she started asking all of us, and now we do it together as a family, and it's an excellent, excellent practice. She says, where have you seen God at work today? It's a way for us to hear our kids, how they're doing, what they did that day, but it's also an opportunity for us to reflect and remember and celebrate what God did that day, even if it's a small thing. You know, I mean, sometimes for Isaiah, he's like, oh, I didn't have homework, you know, but I mean, hey, he's celebrating, right? He's celebrating, and it's shifting the atmosphere, and share what he has done, because God has done a lot of amazing, amazing things. We see in Deuteronomy 16:15, for the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. That's why we celebrate, because our joy will be complete in him. Right here, Psalm 126:3, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad, we celebrate. Also, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, I don't know if you realize this, where these three verses fall in the Bible. One is Old Testament, like really old, right? Like Moses old, right? And then one is in Old Testament, but not quite as old. David old, King David old. And then here in Philippians, this is post-Jesus old, right? About, I don't know, a couple decades or so after Jesus. There's a lot of God doing good things and us needing to remember that and to celebrate it. Part of that is sharing what God has done in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, a sister here from South Africa, she came to the leadership. She'd asked for some prayer and stuff, and then she came to the leadership, and she had an incredible story and testimony. She said, I want to share this with everybody. I said, man, that's excellent, because it'll be perfect for next Sunday when we're talking about celebration. So last Sunday, we shot a quick video. We put it together. It's a little bit noisy, so I put some subtitles on there, so hopefully everybody can catch everything that she says. But this is her story about what God has done in her life over the last couple of months. And she's celebrating in the goodness of God, and she wanted to share it with you guys. And it's an opportunity for all of us to be encouraged and to remember what God has done and is actively doing and will be doing tomorrow. And so we're going to roll this clip here. It's about 5 minutes, and then I'll close this out in prayer. So we'll hear from our sister.
We really got to share my testimony with you. Okay? So I want to tell you, this is what I did very much in the beginning of the year, some of the things that I've done. First, God has been saved and saved. I returned to China 2 months ago, and I'm very thankful for you. This is what I've done, and I've been saying, we have to be the same as you. And that is the same for your heart, your heart, and your heart, and your heart. And listen to your heart, and your heart, and your. So when I got there, I was thinking to the next step. So I got to every day that I was teaching to God. I taught to the knowledge of the Bible. And I couldn't say to me, I was tired of that, I was hungry to God. I couldn't do much of that. I couldn't get the right of God, and I was ready to do it. But I was going to take it away, and I was growing. But at that point, I was really depressed, and I was comfortable with the Lord. I was doing everything that was in the Bible. She came to do everything, God gave us what we were to do.
Yeah, amen. God is at work, and he has been at work, he is at work, and he will continue to be at work. And celebrating helps us to remember that. In her sharing, she said she was partying a lot, but she was celebrating, but in the wrong way. We need to make sure that we bring our celebration underneath the Lordship of Christ and to remember his goodness, right? And to focus on him. And I want to encourage you guys, if anyone else, you know, has stories, even if it was years ago, about how God worked and moved, we would love, love, love to have more testimonies to share, because it's encouraging to all of us and to celebrate what God is doing, not just looking back in scripture, which is awesome and super important, but also remembering that he is alive and at work here today. And that part of our responsibility is to remember that and celebrate. And so join me in prayer, then we'll hand it over to the MC. Lord God, we thank you that we can have a relationship with you, Lord, that you make it possible for us to love you and to come into your presence and to grow in this relationship, Lord God. We thank you that part of that is celebrating, Lord God, celebrating what you have done, Lord God, and celebrating what you will do and remembering and just coming into your presence and doing that communally together so that we come into your presence, you know, as a body of believers, Lord God. Help us as we find ourselves at meal times or holidays, Lord, to bring it back to you and to remember, Lord God, that we remember your goodness, not get hung up on the frustrations or the anger or the disappointment, Lord God, but remember the goodness, the big, but also the small, because a lot of times that's where it is, Lord. From the small things every day, little things like no homework, Lord. But we thank you for that joy. Help us to see you more fully and to celebrate it. In your name, amen.